our parsha plan allow us to expand when we didn't get to do the Aliyah the previous year. So Hazinu is a rare opportunity because the year schedule doesn't always allow us to meet in time for Hazinu. So out of the past 4 years, I think we've had parsha shir twice for Hazinu. So we have the opportunity this morning to catch up a little bit, so we'll try to cover both Revi'i and Chamishi, because we didn't do Revi'i last year. So Hazinu, on the surface, is a depressing parsha. On the surface, things are very negative, even though it's a song, so you think that, okay, that's all cheerful. Hazinu is referred to as a song in last week's parsha. Sometimes we find that there is a little bit of synergy between whatever Aliyah we're doing that year, that will go from one parsha to the next, and there's a little bit of a parallelism within the Aliyahs from one parsha to the next. So here, that's true. We read about Hazinu last week in Vayelech, and we read that Ata Kisfu Lachab Nesai Shira Hazos. That's a reference to Hazinu. Hazinu is the Shira, but if anything, I guess it's a country blues type of song. It's a very sad song, or an Irish song, or whatever kind of song they claim is the very sad, depressing song. It's a dirge. It's not a happy song on the surface. So we'll come back to that topic about whether it's happy.
Are you drinking or cheating?
It's about a lot of bad stuff. It's about how we're really going to be in trouble. And our Aliyah begins, Vayar Hashem Vayinat. I didn't want to translate the words. Yeah, God's going to see what's going on. He's going to hate the people. Mikas Banav Ubenosav, he's going to be so upset because of the provocation, because of the angering of him that took place from his sons and his daughters. And then, again, here, this is a direct parallel to what we talked about last week. We talked about the pasuk last week, Vanilki Hastir Astir Panay. So here you find that phrase again, Vayomer Hastira Fanay Mehem. So God says, I will hide my face from them. We discussed last week the interesting question that, is that a statement of real terrible disaster, that God's presence will not be felt, or the fact that the Gemara connects it to Purim, making it sound like it's not so much about the disaster, but it's about the Yeshua. The Yeshua is going to happen in a concealed fashion. But certainly in this context, it seems like it's really, really bad news. It's really a bad situation. And God says that he's going to hide from him. And I say God says, the Ramban has a comment over here, that up until now it's been Moshe talking. And that from here on in, it's Hashem talking directly. Because this will grow, in the Sefer Sonderach, as a comment, says one could explain this shift based on an idea that the Ramchal has in the Sefer Das Tvunas, that everything that happens, both the good things and the bad things, are bringing this world closer to its ultimate perfection, to its ultimate shlemus. But as human beings, we cannot understand that. We see good news and bad news, like the Gemara said, that ultimately will be, everything will be unified, meaning that we'll appreciate that it's unified. But right now, we don't see that, so we say, have a Baruch HaTov HaMeitiv for good news, and a Baruch Dayanus HaShalom for bad news, because we perceive good news and bad news. We don't see it all as unified. So human beings can't really perceive that. So therefore, we need a Kadosh Baruch Hu to kind of take over the conversation here. He's talking himself, and he's saying that this is what's going to happen. And so that's what the Rabban says. From here on, it's him speaking. So the pasuk continues with a reference to this phrase, Dor Tapuchos, which is an interesting question. What exactly the phrase means? What's the message here? The lashon of the pasuk is Vayomer Hastira Fanay Mehem Era Macharisa. We'll see what will happen in the end if I'm going to hide my face from them. Dor Tapuchas Hem Abavim Lo Emunbam. So they are a upside down generation, and they are people who are lacking in faith. There's no faith from them. So what exactly does that mean to say that there's no faith from them? So that there is a lot to discuss. The Pshamshim of Fal Hirsch, so he comments on what's going on here, says, you think you don't need a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so you see, so he'll leave you, and we'll see just how much you like it. And that therefore the phrase, Dor Tapuchos, is a reference to their basic lack of reliability. They're fickle, and they flip back and forth. So when they need you, they take you, and when they don't need you, they abandon you. That's what it means to be fickle, to flip-flop, essentially. That's what the connotation of Torah Tafukos is. And that's going to be a description of the Jewish people. And the Medrash of Bamidbar Rabbah writes in Parsha Shlach that this is a reference to the Meraglim. So why should the Meraglim be identified specifically with this very Torah Tafukos? So the Sefer Hadrash V'Ha'ion, which we'll make reference to a few times today, I think we mentioned him in the past, Hadrash V'Ha'ion was written by Rav Aaron Levine, who was the grandfather of the Rav Aaron Levine, who was Rebbe here, was a teacher here, chairman of the economics department. So the original Rav Aaron Levine was known as the Reish Rav, the author of the Tshuvos Divrei Chefetz, Avni Chefetz rather. He was a member of the Polish parliament. He was a fascinating figure. And he has a sefer on Chumash called Hadrash V'Ha'ion. So he discusses, so first of all, why should this be a reference to Meraglim as opposed to any other thing? And the question that the Rishonim asking, that many ask, you know, what's so terrible about the Meraglim? That the Meraglim were asked to go give their opinion, bring back a report, and that's what they did. They brought their opinion, they came back with a report, they probably, maybe they said things as accurately as they could. So what exactly is the claim against them? So the problem seems to be that the way he understands it is that you can't say that they were really mutually bringing a report. They didn't intend to have any kind of specific negative connotations. Because we have a concept that when people want to leave you with a specific impression, good or bad, they make sure to put that information at the end. Because they know the Gemara Dibura Adam Mitzvah, the person is going to be established, his intent is going to be established based on how he closes off or his closing message is. I had the opportunity last night to hear a politician, a senator, speak about the Iranian deal, one of those who opposed it. And he went through this whole process, and he first explained all the reasons why he could have voted for it. And then he ended off with the reasons why he voted against it, and you know that was the impact he wanted to leave you with. So here too, you find that there is such an idea that if somebody wants to leave you with an impact, they'll put that towards the end. So if the Meraglim really were trying to give a neutral report or a positive report, they could have included all their concerns at the beginning, and then. Or at the end, and then the concerns at the beginning, and then have a positive message at the end. But because they ended off with the negativity, that shows you that it was always their intent to try to poison the well. It was always their intent to try to leave things as negatively as possible. So that, he says, answers both questions. It tells you what was so bad about them, but also why you should be referred to them by this phrase, Dor Tapufos, they want to turn everything upside down. They wanted to create such an ordering of the words so that it would create the impression that's the opposite of the one that should have been created. There are those who also suggest that the understanding can come from the end of the pasuk, banim lo emunba, that there's no trust in them. So Chazal Levenstein understands, based on that phrase, that Dor Tapufos is a reference to Avodah Zarah, that they are people who are not trustworthy, they basically have abandoned God, and therefore it's a reference to idolatry. I should also point out that there's an entire sefer, way outside the scope of our discussion today, that deals with issues of gender change surgery and that whole tendency and concern, the whole issue of transgenderism. Is discussed in a sefer which has the title Dor Tapufos. It's another connotation that's been taken from the pasuk. It's a serious issue. And this idea of lo emun bam, so you see Rashi here quotes that the idea is bi omein, which is a reference to the pasuk in Gilas Esther, which is the language of raising, that Kadosh Baruch Hu was talking about the fact that he raised the Jewish people, and nonetheless, says Rashi, ain gidulai mikarim b'hem. The fact that I raised them, you can't perceive my raising of them and how they act. I accept them in a certain derech, and they did on their own. they moved away from the path. So there is a whole discussion about this idea that the Revolbi has. Revolbi notes that the entire Torah is really the purpose of chinuch, it's the purpose of education, which means to change and to grow, and shiras hamidos, and to overcome one's initial tendencies. And that, you don't see that happening at all. You don't see any progress in terms of education. You don't see any effort to try to fight the Yetzer Hara, to try to fight the inclinations. And certainly as we sit here towards the end of the Yetzer Hara Shuva, so we're very much focused on that idea that that's the purpose of life and the purpose of the whole Torah. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu was saying, I don't see that now. I don't see that going on with how they are acting. So to continue a little bit to look at the next Pesukim. So it continues, Hey, Kinuni, Bloel, Kasuni, Bahadleya, Bani, Akmihein, Bloam, Bagoy, Bavala, Hussein. So they have gotten me jealous. They have acted in a faithless way with those who are not God. They have, instead of worshiping me, says God, they have worshiped others who don't have the status of the God. So therefore, I'm going to treat them the same way, so to speak, that I will betray them, so to speak. I will cause them to be abandoned. Bloam, with something parallel with nations that aren't really worthy nations, nations that don't really have the stature, don't really deserve to be overcoming them, but because they worship non-gods, so I will let them get vanquished by non-nations. Kesh kavcha ba'api, batika ra'shol tachtis, v'tenful eretz, yuvulah, v'talahi, mos teherim. Because there is a fire that is kindled in my anger, ba'api, and it's going to burn to the shol tachtis, the lowest part of shol, and it's going to consume the land, and all of its produce, and it's going to set the mountains on fire. It's interesting, that was also what one of the points the senator discussed, that the United States is working on bombs that can bomb mountains because the Iranians have their nuclear plants not only underground, we need bombs that can go deep into the ground, but they've also put them in mountains, so we need bombs that can break the mountains. It's an even higher degree of power, so here you see that's what the Pasuk is referring to. It's a tremendous, devastating act from the Kadosh Baruch Hu to light most of the harim. I mean, going to set the mountains on fire at their foundation. And the pasuk, again, it's a scary parsha. So the pasuk that continues, you can't deny it. Aspa alei moros, chitzay achal ebam. So I will pile up evils on top of them, and I will use up my arrows on them. So that sounds like more negativity, but that, as Rashi indicates in his Rosh Hashanah comments, that last part, the chalabam, that's actually good because it means that they're ultimately going to survive. That God is saying, I'm going to use up all my negativity on them, and then it's going to end. We're going to run out, so to speak, kaviyach, I'm going to run out of my weapons before I run out of the Jewish people. So that's what Rashi says over here. If it's ideal that my arrows will run out, and they will not run out. They will outlive them. So it's a little bit of a Yeshua, the badness, that as bad as things are going to get, it's not going to actually consume the Jewish people. But still, things are looking pretty sad here. Amizei Rav, Ufume Rasha, Feket of Miriri, they're going to be all eroded with hunger, and they're going to be consumed with heat, and with bitter destruction. The Shed Behemas HaShalacha, also the teeth of animals will be sent after them, in Hamas or Chalad Alpha, and with the poison of crawling things of dust. Mechutz, Teshakel Cheref, Mechadarim Ema, Gam Bachur, Gam Sul, Yonei, Kibish Seva. So the sword on the outside, and the terror that comes from inside, are going to destroy both the young man and the Psula, and also the child, also the little baby, the Yonei, together with old men. Everyone's going to be destroyed by all of these forces that will be brought against them. And then you have this pasuk which says, Amarti Af Ehem. Ashbisa me enosh zikhra. So he says, I will scatter them into corners. Afeim is from the Lashon Peah. So the commentaries have a lot of discussion about what that means. Does that mean that the Sforno suggests that there'll be a lot of destruction, even though some part of the Jews will be set aside to a corner and protected, but huge portions of the Jewish people, Rahman al-Islam, will be destroyed? Or others understand, I think of Hirsch as a commentator also, that their influence will be greatly reduced. They'll be pushed to a corner. They won't be the center of the field. They won't be in a place that can actually draw attention. They're going to be set aside. And this is consistent with the rest of the pasuk. The pasuk which says, Ashbisa me'enosh dechara, so people won't remember that. People won't notice that because they are shoved aside. And the Ramban comments here because the entire purpose of the existence is to be mefarsim kvod shamayim. And they're not doing that, so therefore people aren't going to be aware of them. People aren't going to care about them. Okay? Just finish off the Adilia here. Lule kas oyev agur. Pen yinaku tsaremo. Pen yemru yadeinu rama. Velo Hashem paul kozos. So we're not that I was afraid that the enemy would get angrier and people would misunderstand what's going on and they'd say, okay, look, we're winning and we're better than God's people. Then I would go even further. But I have to be afraid that people will get the wrong message here. Because these are people who are a nation that doesn't have any Eitzah, doesn't have any Tumah, doesn't have any understanding, they're totally missing the point. It's a very, very harsh criticism and destruction promised to the Jewish people. And that's the fourth Aliyah. We go to the fifth Aliyah, so this theme continues. And it says, Lu chachmu yaskilu zos yavinu l'acharisa. This is a very important statement. As if only they were wise, if only they were smart, and they had haskalah, they had insight. If they could understand, then they would consider what would happen at the end. They would think about what would happen at the end of the story. So there is an essay about this, again, that same sefer that I mentioned a few minutes ago. Hadrash Yerim has a discussion about how really this is the yisod to everything. That people who are smart are people who try to think about the long term. People who don't have short-term thinking and they're just looking at what's right in front of them. But, like the Gemara says, Ezehu Racha, Ezehu Chacham, Haraya Sanola. What does it mean to be a Chacham? It means to be one who sees what's going to happen, one who is able to anticipate the consequences of his actions. I think we've maybe mentioned in the past that there were those who suggested that Tartanina has a comment in the Sefer on the Siddur, and the Paris Yosef has a comment in his introduction, the original Paris Yosef, that this phrase maybe means something else. That they ask a steerer. It's not really the kind of steerer that keeps you up at night. It's not really an impossible question. But they say, aye, it's a contradiction to the Mishnah and to the others. Because the Mishnah says, Ezehu Chacham, Halo Meidu Kalada, who is wise, one who learns from everyone. So Ben's like, that's not a steerer. So you could have two different types of people who are wise. So they're assuming there's some kind of a steerer, that on the one hand, Mishnah says to learn from everyone, and on the other hand, the Gemara says, Haroa Sanova. So they want to suggest that Haroa Sanova doesn't mean how we normally interpret it to see what it's going to be. It means that it's really the same thing of Lomer Vikaladam, that Roa Sanola, a person who's looking for Chacham, is not going to worry so much about who it is who's saying the idea. He's not going to focus so much on the molid, the one who creates the idea. He's going to focus more on the Nolad, on that which is created. So therefore, it's the same idea of Lomer Vikaladam, someone who's willing to accept Chacham wherever it comes from. So too, your Roa Sanola, look at the product, you don't focus so much on the molid. But the more traditional understanding is that it means someone who anticipates the future. And then it's essentially what this pasuk is saying, right? That's chachma, lu chachma. What does it mean to be a chacham? It means that they would see what would happen at the end, they would be wiser, and they wouldn't make these decisions. So in the Sefer Adrash Yoyim, he has a whole essay about this, about that's such a chaval, that we don't have such chachma, and that he says, al piderech ha-drush, drush ba-drash, that the middle of the Torah is, I believe, in Parsha Shmini, in terms of words. The pasuk says, Darosh, Darash, Moshe. So there's a little note there. In the middle of the pasuk, right between Darosh and Darash, that it's a special Lower East Side part, because the Moshe Feinstein wrote the Sefer published afterwards, the Moshe Feinstein's ideas on Chumash, Darash, Moshe. That's from that pasuk. So Darosh, Darash, Moshe, in the middle of that, there is the note that this is Chatzi HaTorah, this is halfway through the Torah. So he wants to say, that half of the Torah is that you're able to take the time to think about things. You're able to really darshan, to try to figure out what is the implication of what you're going to do. That's really the secret of everything, and short-term thinking is the big disaster. And that's what this pasuk is saying, that people think the short term, they don't think things through, and that's going to cause terrible problems. So here, this next pasuk is interesting. It's a topic of machlokas, how to understand it. The pasuk says, Eicha yirdof echa elef, ushnayim yanisa revava, imlo kitzurav v'charav, Hashem yispirav. So, how does it work that you have one who could chase 1,000, and two who could basically chase 10,000? Right, so it sounds like it's a reference to the Jews being chased. The Jews are going to be in such bad shape, like the rest of the pasuk says, that the rock, Kadosh Baruch Hu, has sold them, has gotten rid of them. So the speaker has at least left them to their own devices. So, because of that, because they're so vulnerable, so there's this disproportion that one can chase 10,000, and two can chase 10,000. One can chase 1,000, two can chase 10,000. So, that's how Rashi understands it, that it's about the idolaters, the Akum, chasing the Jews. But the Targum Yerushalmi understands it differently. That this is about the good things that are ultimately going to be, that the Jews are doing the chasing, and the Targum says that that's going to be the case when the Jews are loyim baraisa benamshik pekudaya, when they're toiling in Torah and they're observing the mitzvah, so then they're going to chase in such a disproportionate way. So then it evokes the pasuk in Vayikra, Parachavav Vayikra, Baradfu Mikan Chamisha Meya. So there the pasuk says that 5 of you could chase 100, and 100 of you could chase 10,000. So Rashi over there, in Vayikra, has a comment that you see the ratio increases tremendously, right? So 5 to 100, that's a 1 to 20 ratio. And then 100 to 10,000, that's a 1 to 100 ratio. So you see it gets exponentially bigger. So Rashi says, you see that when you have many learning Torah, so then that has this cumulative effect, it has this geometric effect, and you see that it's even stronger. So, if that's the case, so it's all because of the Kolach of Torah, so the Sifter Chavim asks, so in Hazinu, in our pasuk, it should be an even rate, it shouldn't multiply the way that it does, because they don't have the Torah. So you see the Sifter Chavim, with the Simnik like Rashi here, that it's about the Akum chasing us. So the Akum chasing us, that should stay at an even rate, and therefore it's Akasha, how come here there is also exponential increase. The Sam Derech, which is the Sobroi, that you mentioned it before, so he writes that even according to the Targum, that our pasuk is about the Jews chasing their enemies, so still the ratio is still off a little bit, right? Because it's off a lot. Because in Vayikra, it goes from 1 to 20 to 1 to 100, and here, so it goes to a much greater degree, right? What happens here? So here we find it's 1 to 1,000, and then 2 to 10,000. So the numbers are way out of whack. Way much more than you find in Vayikra. So the Sandara wants to suggest that because here it's not talking simply about keeping the mitzvot, the language, the Targum is loyim baraisu, they're amailing the Torah, that they're working in Torah and toiling in Torah, and therefore, the more you put in, the more you get out. So that's a tremendous statement for chizik, especially for Tzeres Mitzvah, that it's not a set standard, but that one who really invests a lot in his learning experience is going to have an even more powerful bracha. And therefore, we should understand that there's always more to accomplish. It's not a set rate. But that's say for Hadrash Lo'ian, again, that we mentioned already twice today. So he has an interesting comment, and he wants to suggest as follows. He says that this is talking about the Jews chasing their enemies, as Pasuk and Hazinu. And it's a reference to the Moshe Mashiach. And he says the ratio is still the same. So how does the math work? In Vayikra, it's 5 to 110 to 10,000. So here, it's 1 to 1,000 and 2 to 2,000. So 2 to 10,000. So how does that math work? So it says the way it works is because the ratio is still the same, the difference between the first, which is the small number, and the second, which is the big number, is still five times as much. We shouldn't be comparing how much from the good guys to the bad guys. We should be comparing level one to level two. So level two still increases by fivefold. So that idea is because in the Mosa Mashiach, the Iker Bracha is going to be so much bigger. And therefore, that's the intent of the Pasuk. Here we talk about one versus two. So first in Vayikra, so you needed to have five to get 100. Here we start with one because we're saying the Bracha is going to be even with one individual already, you have the source of Bracha. And then when we want to talk about plural, we want to talk about Rabbit, so we just go to two. We don't go to 100. Because all we need is me and Rabin, the smallest that can be considered Rabin, the minimal definition of a plural, that's enough, and that's the whole intent of the Pasuk, to show you that the scale isn't changing that way, the most of the Mashiach. Okay, so let's take a look at some more of this Pasukim here. So the Pasuk continues, Kilok, Kitsuregim, Tsurog, Vedeim, Kwilim, that our rock is not like their rock, our God is very different. Even as our enemies are judging us, Kimi Gefen, Stom, Gafnam, Umishad Mos, Admora, Anavehu, Inve Rosh, Ashkelos, Muroros, Lamo, their vine is the vine of stone, and their fields the fields of Amora, and their grapes of Rosh, and their clusters are bitter. There are those who have a practice not to have nothing over the Sarsana Chuba and Roshana. Some suggest it's because we're reading Hazinu at that time, and it's going to evoke this kind of very negative imagery. Hamas, Tanim, and Yenom, the Rosh, Psan, and Achzar. So their wine is like the anger of crocodiles. And it's very powerful imagery. And Rosh, Psan, and Achzar, and it's like the cruel poison of snakes. Halahu Kamus Imadi Chasub Osrosai. So is this not laid up in store with me and stale sealed up in my treasures? Lead not come to Shilei. Says the Kadosh Baruch Hu, to me is the vengeance. La'es Kamut Raglam. It's the time when their foot will slip. Kikaru Gimeda. Because the day of their disaster is at hand. This is close. V'chash Asidos Lamo. And the future, things that are going to happen to them, is coming quickly. Kiyadin Hashem Amo, God will judge his nation, and he will change his mind to repent for his servants. Kiyira, Ki Azlos Yad, the Ephes of Tzor Be'azov, when he sees that there's nothing left, everything is shut up. And then he'll say about the Jews, okay, Be'amar, Ey Eloheimu Tzor Chasayuvo. So he'll say, where are their gods, the idols that they worship, the false gods, where are they now? Where are their gods who they had trusted in? They're not going to be there to take care of them. So this next pasuk continues, Asher chelev zvachemo yochelu, yishtu yein nesicham, yakumu v'azruchem, hi aleichem sisra. So then, if you worship other gods, let them help you. These gods, you ate from their sacrifices, you drank from their nesichem, from their wine offerings, so let those gods help you. So there is a comment over here that the Gemara says in the Bezara, and that's the best in the days. So you see, apparently you're not supposed to drink the ayin of their mistakes. You're not supposed to drink their libations. So that shows you that there's a prohibition of hana from the ayin nesim. So the whole discussion whether this is much of a chiddush or not, we should know that the kubus of the Bezara are prohibited by hana. But it's also pointed out that this is a little bit different than what we talk about nowadays, stab yenam, the wine of non-Jews, which is prohibited. So then the idea that it's prohibited in Torah is only if we actually know that it's used for nisim. But if it's not, we prohibit it anyway, stab yenam, but that prohibition is a prohibition of Rabbanan. And it just happens to be, I got a shot about this point this week, that nowadays we assume, we assume, that they're not actual Old Day of Azara, that it's not really likely that the wine is really used for Nisuch, and therefore the wine is only prohibited to drink, is not prohibited to get Hana from. So if somebody would get a gift of a bottle of wine that's not kosher from a non-Jew, so he wouldn't have a prohibition of hanas, I'm assuming. He'd be allowed to maybe sell it, or certainly to give it away, wouldn't be subject to that prohibition. Some of the Rishonim point out that we also have a right to assume that it's especially likely that if it was given to you by a non-Jew, if it was sold to you or given to you, that it probably is not to the Yayin Nesef, because why would they sell the wine that they use for their libations? Why would they give it away? So it's a fair guess that that wine is specifically less likely to be libation wine than anything else. So they point out also that the Rav writes that because of this general leniency, so one can take the wine from a non-Jew as collection for a debt. That if he owes you money, you can take his wine instead. So there are those who say, well, maybe then it's not such a clear principle, because maybe when they give you a gift, okay, they're going to give you wine probably that's not used for use of. But if you're pressuring them to give it to you because they owe you money, so then maybe it was wine that they would have otherwise wanted to hold on to. So that's our community discussing this and explaining that still it's very unlikely that they actually use the wine for that purpose. So therefore, you can assume that the miut is the miut is used for that, and therefore it's not likely that this is a problem. Should also just mention, we're going to have to end in a minute, but this pasuk that says everything is given up, the pasuk alam above, which you made reference to a minute ago, everything is gone, everything is shut up. So the Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin says that Ein Bein David Ba, that Mashiach's not going to come until people basically give up, until people basically have Yayish. So Mefarshim asked, what does that mean? That we have a principle of Amunah, that you have to believe in the imminent coming of the Mashiach. So how can you say that we have to give up believing in the Mashiach in order for Mashiach to come? So Rav Schwab quotes from Elliot Levy Block that it means to give up on all the false Nevi'im and the false Mashiachim, and to recognize that only comes from the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It doesn't mean to give up faith in him, God forbid. And along similar lines, but slightly differently, Rakim Kamenetsky writes in his Kedushim that it means to give up hope that you're looking to nations of the world to save you, but ultimately you recognize that Yeshua is going to come from God. He said that's also why Moshe was sent to Paro to release the Jews, and then right away Paro starts making things harder. It was to make the point that it's not Paro, it's God. And ultimately that's where your faith has to be. So we'll just end on this note, that that is certainly an important message of Malthus, especially as we're at a time in history when we really don't know who to trust in terms of the governments of the world, and we've seen so much terrible things happen and so many very scary moments approach, that we recognize ultimately that it's not up to them, it's up to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that's one of the key themes of this Sadiya. And that we should also note that we emphasize a few times how scary and how negative this is. And normally, we don't want to have aliyahs like this, we don't have aliyahs that end like this. We have an idea that we break up aliyahs, we should always end on an up note, on a positive note. But the Rambam writes, it doesn't apply to Hazinu, because Hazinu is Musar, that's supposed to set us on the right track. So as much as it sounds very negative, but ultimately it's about pushing us back into the Kodesh Baruch Hu's arms, and when we just recognize that that's where the hope is. And therefore, in that sense, it's a shira, in that sense, it's meant to be uplifting, so as much as the imagery is very, very foreboding and very scary. Ultimately, this should be a source of bracha to us, a source that pushes us into a recognition that it's ultimately Kodesh Baruch Hu where our faith belongs, and who will redeem us, and who will flip us all around. And the sooner that we realize that, the better. And that's, of course, a very appropriate message as well for the Rosh Hashanah and Kippur season. Okay, so I wish you all a Gemara Chasim Tova. Thank you for being here today. And we'll see you, God willing, next afternoon. Okay, I should go.